When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Awardist, where we are chatting with the actors, creators, and more who are contenders this year and breaking down the state of the 2024 Oscars race. I'm Entertainment Weekly executive editor Jared Hall. Our focus last week was Emmy winner predictions, which I kind of think we nailed. Shout out to EW critic Kristen Baldwin. And this week, it's all about Oscar nomination predictions. EW's Oscars expert Joey Nolfi is back with me this week for that and so much more. Joey, hello, how's it going?
Jared.
Oh, do I feel like hear awards fatigue setting in?
You don't hear awards fatigue setting in. You hear Oppenheimer fatigue lingering.
Oh, okay.
I have long Oppenheimer is what it's referred to. That was a really bad joke about long COVID. I have long Oppenheimer.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Well. Maybe it's real. Maybe it's a real thing.
It's real.
Look, that film has been surging. We'll talk more about that a bit in depth later. Before we get to Oscar nomination predictions, let's take a little trip back in time last week to SAG nominations, which were announced last week. What for you were the biggest snubs and surprises?
This one was really painful. I mean, Charles Melton is my number one snub. I think he really could have benefited from a showing at SAG here. So could Julianne Moore for May December. Both of them have picked up a significant amount of precursor love, and SAG
May
just
December
said
shut out across the board.
Shut out across the board. I mean, it just, that doesn't make sense to me. Outside of the only thing that I can wrap my head around is that the actors did not like the fact that it is a sort of mocking, maybe they interpreted it as maybe like a mocking meditation on performance, and they didn't like the fact that it sort of held this mirror up to acting as a profession and sort of reduced Natalie Portman's character's portrayal to like mimicry instead of acting. That's the only thing I can think of, because Charles Melton is far and away, that performance is light years better than Robert Downey Jr.'s, which is sadly, I think, going to win the Oscar this year, the way it's going. So it just is really a shame to see Charles get left out of such an important precursor.
Well, in that category, by the way, the nominees you mentioned, Robert Downey Jr., also Ryan Gosling, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Willem Dafoe for Poor Things, and Sterling K. Brown got in there for American Fiction, which is on your surprise list.
Yeah, that's on my surprise list. I think this is a really weak group in terms of actual performance that SAG nominated. And I mean, Sterling, they're all good. I don't want anybody to think outside of, I think Robert Downey's performance is a little on the like hammy side. But I think there are just much stronger performances out there this year. And Sterling is one that I think, American Fiction is riding on the wave of like the sentiment of the film, I think, more so than the actual crafts that went into it. I think Sterling is a great actor. I just think that this performance just didn't really, I just don't know that there's enough there that he's really necessarily doing to make me think that, you know, he's better than someone like Charles Melton. I don't know. Like it's hard for me to talk about that performance because I don't really, nothing really sticks out to me as being like, oh, that's an Oscar worthy performance. Like, I mean, he did his job. He's a great actor. He did a fine job, but it just doesn't rise to that level of being like, oh, that's an Oscar performance. The same way that like Robert De Niro, that performance didn't really strike me as that. And Willem Dafoe, I mean, they love Willem Dafoe every, like, you know, he gets nominated all the time, but I just, that's another performance where I'm just kind of like, it doesn't really shout Oscar-y kind of performance to me. So I unfortunately think that Sterling will probably be the one to fall off with Oscar. I think Willem is in, Charles, I'm still, it might just be wishful thinking, but I'm not ready to take him out of the performance just yet. Because as we see in recent years past, like the sort of Golden Globes, Critics' Choice, BAFTA sort of, and SAG sort of combination is not necessarily mm-hmm. the winning format that it used to be. So right. I think Charles is still alive here.
Mm-hmm. What other snubs do you want to lament?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot. I thought that the cast of Poor Things not getting in for ensemble was kind of shocking, given the stature of a lot of those actors and the fact that they nominated Willem Dafoe in supporting. I thought that was a little weird that they didn't nominate, and also Emma Stone for lead, that they didn't nominate that for ensemble. The other big shocker is Leonardo DiCaprio not getting in for best actor. That was very surprising to me. Also, I don't know if it's necessarily, I mean, it's a snub in terms of merit, but I don't know that it's necessarily a surprise anymore that like Fantasia is getting, and Taraji are getting left out for The Color Purple. Yeah. I mean, their performances are so just towering and epic and amazing. And it's really unfortunate that they have been, you know, sort of given, they've been sort of paid dust on this awards trail so far. So that's really, really disheartening.
Well, more awards were handed out over the weekend. Let's talk Critics' Choice Awards. Those were awarded on Sunday. Oppenheimer won 8, Barbie took home 6. Emma Stone won Best Actress for her performance in Poor Things. And all of the holdovers actors, that trio took home trophies. Best Actor for Paul Giamatti, Best Supporting Actress for Davine Joy Randolph, and Best Young Actor or Actress for their co-star Dominic Sessa. What's your big takeaway from the CCAs?
Yeah, that's I mean, this is another one where it's very difficult to say. Usually the Critics' Choice are good predictors of Oscars taste, and they don't necessarily, because they don't share any membership, so they don't necessarily, they're not a, there's no shared DNA between them.
Right. Yeah.
But the statistics here do usually line up. So Paul, I think, yes, the momentum has shifted to him. I think that he's the inevitable best actor winner. Davine, she steamrolled everything from the industry to she got the nomination at SAG. She's been winning everything. I think she is the sort of default choice here, and her performance is amazing, and it totally lives up to it. I think she's fully deserving. But the big... the question here, I think, now comes down to best actress, because Emma Stone is who I was predicting before Lily started sweeping and getting nominated everywhere. But it's an interesting matchup now, because Lily and Emma didn't go against each other at the Globes. Right. Mm-hmm. So if they had gone against each other at the Globes and Lily had won at the Globes, I would say, okay, it's Lily's. But now, they both won. Emma won for comedy, Lily won for drama. Now Emma is winning at Critics' Choice, which is a visibility booster. But again, there's no shared DNA between those groups, so that just further complicates things. SAG will be the deciding factor here of who's going to win Best Actress. I think that's all eyes are going to be on SAG for that. But it's between those two right now.
Yeah, well, and after the Golden Globes, Killers of the Flower Moon have been winning so many precursor things, but then Oppenheimer wins at the Globes, and I wasn't so quick to think like, oh, okay, here's where the tide is shifting, because of course the Golden Globes, the voters are all foreign press, even though they are no longer called the HFPA. Yes. But still, Oppenheimer has a lot of international foreign ties. Its director, several of the actors, etc. So it kind of made sense to me that movie might be who they go for. But now with the critics also going for Oppenheimer, I guess it's just one of those. It's a wave, like we see often in award season, but that seems to be where it is right now.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, I hate to always feel like I'm just so disappointed with this season, but I really don't get the Oppenheimer that wave. I truly cannot understand it. I just don't know how anyone could sit through the last hour of that movie and think, literally 33% of this film is worthy of Oscar. I just, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm going to put you on the spot quickly.
Yeah.
What is actually your personal number one of the year?
Saltburn.
Should be getting all the nominations and the awards, not just from a personal favorite perspective, but a best perspective.
Yes. I think that film's screenplay is perfect. I think that the editing is perfect. I think the performances across the board near perfect. And also it's my personal, yeah, it just speaks to me aesthetically in terms of narrative, direction. I think, and it's just so odd to me.
Design and cinematography
It hits, it ticks every box. And I just think it is so odd to me how the industry can shift from being so in love with something like Promising Young Woman to completely almost across the board shafting Saltburn. I mean,
and it shares so many of the great qualities that people love about Promising Young Woman, but people can't get past the shocking moments to understand and see everything underneath it.
I think a lot of them did what we predicted they were going to do and immediately didn't look past the surface and just maybe were disinterested in it from the moment that it started to make them feel uncomfortable. And I think that Oppenheimer makes people feel uncomfortable in a different way, but it's sort of dressed in the typical historical big budget Hollywood way that they're such different films, and I tried to remove remove personal feelings from predictions. Like, I mean, I'm predicting Oppenheimer pretty much everywhere now, but it just personally, I can't understand it.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it, shall we? Actual Oscar nomination predictions. We're going to go category by category, starting with the supporting acting categories. Let's tackle actress first. Who are your five picks?
So I'm going with Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for Color Purple, Jodie Foster for Naiad. I still have Julianne Moore in there for May, December, and Davine Joy Randolph, I'm predicting to win for The Holdovers right now.
Who is your on the cusp? Like who could get in there and who would they replace?
God, I want to... All of my heart wants to say Taraji, because I feel like if Taraji gets in, it'll be like a Marina Di Tavira situation where literally zero precursors, you know, nothing suggesting that she's going to get a nomination. But the actors just loved Color Purple so much that they voted for her. But SAG didn't vote for her. It did get an ensemble nomination.
Yeah.
So it's curious, because I also don't think that SAG's fifth nominee, Miss Penelope Surprise Cruz, is going to get in for the Oscar. Although she is also no stranger to just like slipping in at the last minute, like Parallel Mothers. Like, I mean, it's such a hard thing to predict, but I mean, Ferrari literally has shown up nowhere but SAG. Yeah. So The Color Purple at least has a little bit more industry support behind it. So,
I will say, I think she's the best part of that film.
Yeah. I just think that I'm still going with alternate would be Taraji. Julianne, I think, is in for Oscar.
Got it. Let's talk supporting actor. Who you got for us?
So Willem Dafoe for Poor Things, Robert De Niro for Killers, predicting Robert Downey Jr. to win for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and then I'm still hanging on to Charles Melton for supporting actor too.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like now it's like, will it be Sterling? I don't know. I don't really think so.
Yeah, yeah. The strength of that performance is just not there, and I also think that the Academy's international voting base of actors, many of whom are not necessarily represented at SAG, are more inclined to go for Charles Melton than Sterling's performance.
Yep. Let's talk animated feature.
Oh,
who you got there for us?
This is a very difficult one too. So I'm predicting, I literally just before we came on to record this, changed my predictions here. So I think I'm going with Boy and the Heron to win. I'm also predicting Elemental, Nimona, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and Super Mario Bros. Movie. I took the peasants off, obviously. And then
love that you put in Nimona, though. That was one of my favorites this last year.
Yeah. The Annies, I think, turned the tide for Nimona there. I mean, it dominated those nominations. And also Disney was left off of the Best Feature category for the first time since that category was individualized and broken off from the sort of general honors of the Annie Awards. So that is really telling as well. Like Wish, I think, just underperformed at the box office too much and was just critically panned, even though it's such a, well, I wouldn't say panned. It sort of split down the middle. But the animation in that movie is just so impressive and beautiful.
I love it.
I love that movie. Yeah. But Elemental, I think, is the safer bet here. I don't think the Academy is going to shut out Disney. So,
And then the last one before we take a quick break here, should I sing this one? No, I won't do that.
Oh, God, Jared.
I won't put people through that misery. Let's talk about best song.
Oh, God.
I mean, even Ryan Gosling was surprised to hear that I'm Just Ken win at the Critics' Choice Awards, but I think it's definitely a nominee.
It's definitely a nominee.
And there's a lot of growing support for it.
Yes, it's not winning. What Was I Made For is winning. You know, Billie Eilish is coming into this as a prior winner. That song is definitely more serious, and I think songwriters in the songwriting branch are probably that one's going to get the most votes in the music branch. So when it opens up to the entire Academy, though, see, I'm like talking myself into a different point now, because I think once you see the nominees list, if you're an Academy voter and you see I'm Just Ken, you're like, oh, I know that song. Now, What Was I Made For? Do people immediately know that song by title? I don't think so. So maybe I'm Just Ken does win at the Oscars. Who the hell knows? But I think the other nominees are going to be Dance the Night, the Lenny Kravitz song Road to Freedom from Rustin, and then also Miss Diane Warren coming in hot again with Flamin' Hot, The Fire Inside. We cannot count out Miss Diane Warren.
I know. I think it's very possible. And Olivia Rodrigo has a song in contention.
Yeah.
There were 13 on the short list, I think. But Well, I mean, either way, it feels like Barbie's going to have a good showing in this category.
Yes.
And it'll be between those three. All right. So like I said, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, Joey's Oscar nomination predictions continue for Best Actor, Actress, Director, and Picture. The Awardist will be right back. Welcome back to The Awardist. EW's Oscars expert Joey Nolfi is with me today, offering up his predictions for Tuesday's Oscar nominations. We've already gone through the supporting actress and actor categories, as well as animated feature and song. We've got four more for you now, starting with Joey. Take it away for Best Actor.
So I'm predicting Bradley Cooper for Maestro. I am predicting Leonardo DiCaprio to get in for Killers of the Flower Moon.
Okay.
Paul Giamatti is my predicted winner for The Holdovers. Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. And Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. I think that Coleman is probably going to be the one that falls off here. Just because that movie, you look at the other ones here, they all have multiple cross-branch support. I think that the only thing outside of maybe the Lenny Kravitz song that Rustin has going for it is the actors supporting Coleman. He's such a warm presence. He has such a good personality and presence to have on the campaign trail. I just don't think that performance is... I think that if people are voting for that film, they're voting maybe for Coleman himself instead of necessarily the work in the film, which, you know, he's a fine actor. I think that he is, he's so long overdue. He deserves his credit. But I think that Leo is just probably a little bit more of a presence in a higher profile film.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think you need that. You need sort of that kind of momentum.
Yeah.
Building.
Well, if Coleman does not get nominated this year, because he also has a shot in supporting actor for The Color Purple, but not likely. Folks, wait until you see him in Sing Sing, which was acquired out of Toronto. He's phenomenal in it. Okay. I hope gets nominated for it. Okay, let's talk Best Actress. We know Lily. We know Emma Stone. It's one of the two Stones.
Yeah.
Who else you got in there?
Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon. I am still predicting her right now.
To win.
To win. Sandra for Anatomy of a Fall, just because the European Film Academy went crazy for this film, and there's no way they're not putting her in here. Carrie Mulligan for Maestro. Margot, actually, I'm putting in for Barbie. And Emma Stone for Poor Things.
All right. So that leaves out Natalie Portman, Fantasia Barrino, Greta Lee, Annette Bening.
Yes.
Gosh, what an amazing field, though. And such good performances from everyone.
I just, look, Annette Bening, we know my thoughts on that film, but like, I just don't, I can't, my brain cannot wrap my head around predicting something that was not as widely seen like Naiad versus something that Margot Robbie had such a strong hand in shaping with Barbie as a producer and the star. She is the face of this movie. Like, I just can't see how Margot does not get in, but Annette does. I know that she's popular. I know that she does a lot of work for actors, and especially in the union. And it's just, I mean, I know that she is a very big presence. She's a respected presence, but I don't know, just this performance is just not it for me. It's not a good film. I don't think it's a good performance. I think this is a case of them voting for the story and Annette as a person again versus the actual performance. Yeah.
The narrative around her.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Best director, lay it on us.
So this one's actually, I think, pretty easy. I think we've got Greta for Barbie, Alexander Payne for The Holdovers. I'm predicting the straight copy of DGA. Yorgos for Poor Things. I'm predicting Christopher Nolan to win for Oppenheimer, and then Martin for Killers.
All right. And last but not least, Best Picture. 321 feature films are in contention here. But let's be honest, it really boils down to about 15 that are vying for those top 10 slots. Who are they?
Oh, So alphabetically, we're going to go American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, still predicting Color Purple, Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer winning, Past Lives, I think, is still in there, and Poor Things. Though, I don't know, I feel like Past Lives is in danger. You're in danger, girl. Like, it's...
To be replaced by what?
Oh, God, I don't know. I really don't know.
Because there's brewing support for All of Us Strangers. I think can't count out Zone of Interest. There's a...
Like, yeah, Zone, probably. I would say Zone. All of Us Strangers, I think, is... I mean, nowhere. It's shown up nowhere.
Which is quite unfortunate.
I know.
I think it's the best picture of the year. But
I was predicting it for a while when a lot of other people had sort of fallen off it, but the support is not there for that movie. So Past Lives, I think, God, because that didn't show up at SAG either. I think it's still in because I think it got a PGA nomination, didn't it? So, yeah, and the PGA ranks on the same voting system that the Academy does. So, yeah, Past Lives, I think, is in.
Yeah. All right.
God, this is difficult. Maybe Maestro falls out.
I won't be surprised.
Yeah, because Bradley he's out for director.
Yeah, and I could see it happening.
Yeah, yeah, I could see Maestro
maybe
falling out, too.
May-December is not really in the mix.
No.
So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. This is going to be super surprising.
Yeah. I mean, it's in, you know, some of these categories, it's the four are sure. And it's the fifth with Best Picture. It's like eight or nine are sure. That last one or two.
The last slot is tricky. So difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also like one of those years where you feel like everything is just in. And then you're just like, when it's not in, you're just like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
But then it also doesn't make sense. This is such a confusing year.
It is very confusing. So many movies so many that have kind of like made a splash and been part of the conversation for a while. Well,
wait, because that was, sorry, I don't mean to go back to this, but like, okay, so A24 is a presence in Best Picture usually every year, and those are their only two films really in the Best Picture race this year. It would be Zone
Past Lives
and Past Lives.
Zone. Yeah.
So... Damn, that adds another layer of like And also, Maestro is really Netflix's only.
Netflix's only, right. I almost said that. Yeah, with May, December, and really not being part of the convo. Yeah.
That is so weird. Oh my gosh. Oh no. And Amazon's completely out of it this year.
Yeah, yeah, because Saltburn is not going to sadly get in there.
Yeah, I don't think it will. And but if it does, that will be my biggest joy on Oscar nominations morning. And
oh, you'll hear me screaming from West Coast. I'm sure I will hear you from East Coast. It's it would be a wonderful surprise. That
you'll
morning.
Hear me taking a bath in Oscar's excellence, bathing in Oscar's excellence from the East Coast, Jared.
Oh, boy. He went there. Salt burned the Oscars. Well, we will know soon enough who is nominated. Oscar nominations will be announced Tuesday, January 23rd, typically at 8:30 a.m. Eastern, 5:30 a.m. Pacific. As of this recording, they have not announced any changes to that tradition. So be sure to visit us Tuesday on EW.com for the nominations. You can even watch them live there. And of course, we will have full coverage throughout the day. And that for now is it for this episode of The Awardist. Joey, as always, thanks for joining
me. Thank you, Jared.
Yeah, and thanks so much to all of you for listening. If you like what you're hearing here on The Awardist, follow, rate the podcast, and leave us an award-winning review on Apple Podcasts. And to keep the conversation with us going, you can follow Entertainment Weekly on all socials. We're at EW on X, formerly known as Twitter, and at Entertainment Weekly everywhere else. You can also tag me at Jared Hall, and Joey is at Joey Nolfi.
I don't know if we want to do
we'll
that
see you back here
this
next
episode because they'll hate me for Oppenheimer shade.
Bring it on, folks. We'll see you back here next week and every day at EW.com. Justice for Saltburn?
Yes. Justice for Saltburn.
There we go.
This episode of The Awardist is hosted and produced by Jared Hall and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Full episode transcripts are available at EW.com. Thanks for listening.